to the championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We are happy to report that Lo Neal has apparently not quit. He's back. He's in the studio. He got here at the buzzer, but I don't know. I'll leave it up to you, Dibs.
That's tough.
That's fake.
Left
that's
early,
fake.
Came
that's
back
fake,
late.
Fake news.
Actually,
right
there's actually 2,000 to play.
Joe was what? I walked in. I'm in my seat before the segment even starts. So I don't know what you're talking about, Daniel.
Trying to catch your breath.
I'd just like you to know I'm happy to have you back. I'm glad you didn't quit. Welcome to Championship Rounds. Jolo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game, with a bit of a twist. Kalena Azabuki in studio here on 95.7 The Game. Book, you were coming in here one way or another today.
True.
And there were a lot of ways we could have sliced this. The Warriors win Game 6. The Warriors lose Game 6 and Game 7. Warriors lose 6, win 7. Either way, there was a chance today's discussion was a post-mortem for the season. They're still alive, but they did it Friday night. I mean, honestly, going into the game, how likely did you think that scenario was?
I thought they had a chance. I was kind of thinking about the fact that Game 5 went the way it did, and I felt like they got a lot of confidence from the fourth quarter in Game 5 and the way Steph played in the fourth quarter of Game 5 after it being a struggle, kind of a roller coaster game there. And they really seemed like they were inspired. I was thinking about the fact that Steph said after KD went down, a smile came across some of the guys' faces on the bench. Not like we're happy you got hurt. More like, well, we know what time it is. Let's go into no KD mode. And Steph went into no KD beast mode and did his thing. And I was thinking that's how they have to play. The fourth quarter of Game 5 is how they have to play in Game 6 for a lot of the game. And so I knew there was a chance because obviously that's still a great team they have out there. Without KD on the floor, it's still a talented team. They know exactly how they have to play. They seem confident about what they need to do. And the only thing I was thinking about was the bench. Is the bench going to step up? Because they need the bench to play well. And man, did they ever. And so it was a really incredible, inspiring game to watch, I thought, Game 6. And the Warriors came out on top. And it's not super surprising for the Rockets that they kind of weren't able to close it out in a close game. And those are some of the things that I think separate these two teams is the fact that the Warriors still have better closers out there. And you talk about the heart, the style of play. I think the Warriors are better in all those categories.
You want to talk spectacular?
Yes.
Friday, going into the game, Lo laid out his plan for what the Warriors needed in order to win that game. He said Steph and Klay would need to combine for at least 60 points. Check. They scored exactly 60. He said Andre and Draymond would need to go for at least 20. Check. They went for 25. He said the bench would need to produce 25. The bench produced 33. He laid out his tiered plan. He hit on all three. The Warriors won. We're trying to get him to do it for every game the rest of the way out, but he said, no, that's it. That's it. He called the shot once Babe Ruth, and now he's done pointing
out
home runs.
Top. I feel you, man. That was great. That's great. Like one of the things that I was thinking about for this game, the Rockets, yes, they still have – they're really talented, but the talent is close. And all the games were going to be close games. The biggest margin of victory was 6. So
first time that's ever happened.
Right.
First 6 games of a series decided by 6 or fewer points. Never before in NBA history has that happened.
Right. So even with KD not on the floor – the Rockets have to severely out-talent the Warriors, for me, to win the game. Because the Warriors still have, to me, the better style of play, like I was talking about. We talk about D'Antoni. That's where you look at the coaches. And then Steve Kerr did a masterful job last game. But D'Antoni's style of play, the ISO heavy, shoot a ton of threes after you dribble for James Harden. And the way they play, can it work? And the answer right now is no. The Warriors have kind of proven that. And he was in New York and Phoenix. It didn't work there. They kind of changed it up for James Harden. But the style of play hasn't worked. And then you talk about the heart and the mental toughness, the confidence the Warriors have from winning championships, being battle-tested, seeing everything before. That adds something to it. And then you talk about the closers. The Warriors still have, without KD on the floor, better closers. I would take Steph and Klay to close out a close game over James Harden and Chris Paul any day. If you look at James Harden and Chris Paul in the postseason, yeah, they've had some good moments, but they've also had a lot of bad moments. And people are talking about, well, the Rockets choked I can't really say they choked if James and Chris actually had a pretty good game, but they just struggled to close. In game five in the fourth quarter, same thing. I think James Harden took three shots in all in the fourth quarter. And
turtled up.
Yeah. Mike just Tyson. Shrunk. So it happens. So I can't really say they choked. I'm going to say the Warriors have better closers and more heart, and a style of play is better.
Mike Tyson, when he walked in the ring after a couple of knockouts, he knew that he was going to go in the ring and knock them out.
Right.
Because he had recall. He could go back and say, this is what I've done, and I know that I'm going to knock these guys out. James Harden, Chris Paul, where could they go talk about recall in tough moments? What do they have? They understand. Last time you saw this, Joe, 4 or 5 years ago, the end of the game, James Harden has the ball, and what does he do with it? No one touches him, and he dribbles it out. Remember that?
Yeah. It was game one. It was the second half of the Bay Area doubleheader I pulled because it was Bumgarner versus Kershaw in a day game earlier. I was sitting next to JD. He dribbled it right off his leg when he was coming across half court.
Absolutely. Yeah. The recall
tight game.
There. Tight
game.
Really
tight game.
In tight moments, you've seen what they've been able to do. I looked at this thing, Book, and said, if you looked at just the five, starting when you saw Bogut, you saw our starting lineup, and you look at the Rockets' starting lineup, can you sit there and tell me that starting lineup was better than the Warriors?
No, it's too close talent-wise. And that's even going forward for the Rockets. They have to hope the Warriors get significantly worse talent-wise to where the games aren't going to be that close. Because if the games are that close and the Warriors are able to stay in it, and by the way, Steph having 0 points in the first half and the game being tied gave me a really good feeling about the game.
He was slow rolling them. Yeah. It's classic poker move.
Right,
he was
right.
Slow rolling them.
Yeah, and the Rockets couldn't be feeling good at halftime either. Like, they got to be thinking, man, Steph is probably going to break out at some point. And the bench was just incredible, masterful. Livingston had his best game of the series by far. Kevon Looney, another huge game. Offensive rebounding was wonderful for him. And not just the bench, but the others in general. Andre Iguodala was great again and had another wonderful series. And he's looking bouncy and spring and everything. So
you think he retires after this year?
I don't think so.
Iguodala?
I don't either.
He's got 17 million reasons to come back next year.
And he looks good.
He looks great.
If I'm him next year, I'm taking off the regular season.
He's figured it out.
I'll make a few appearances at Chase because, you know, it's a new building.
Right.
And then show up for the playoffs. He does it every year. Is anyone upset with that?
You gotta milk,
I'm okay with that plan.
You got to milk the Fountain of Youth thing.
You got to milk it.
Ride it till the wheels fall off.
Ride it. That's good money.
At the same time, I think Sean Livingston's a different case.
Probably.
Where, I mean,
he would retire first.
Yes, and I think
he looks hurt.
We all were saying that the wheels had fallen off, but he found a way to stitch those babies back on for game six and give you maybe his last great performance.
You may not
need him again for this playoff run at the same level you needed him then.
We were motivating him. We were motivating
That's
him.
Right.
His tough love. He responded. That's what this show does.
Well, the man's all heart. Even if he's not right physically, you could trust him and he's one of those guys that you love to have in the locker room. And in big moments when you really, really need him to show up, he's going to show up. That's just the way he is. He may not have been feeling great in game six either, but he came to play. He was exposing people. The old Shad Livingston. I loved it.
Chilton Autobody text line 95795. If you have any questions for Kalena Azubuike, who's joining Jolo and Dibs in studio here on 95.7 The Game. I got to ask it because it comes up. I'm asking it in a fun way, though. I don't even know why I felt the need to preface it like that. What am I going to do? Put on a clown nose and dance around when I say it? I don't know how it's
going to happen. You want a drum roll to it?
I don't even know what to expect now.
Basically, now just the steamroll to it. The Durant concept. After the game, every single player, it's like they all went out of their way to say, look, just to be clear, we're better with Durant. We can't wait to have Kevin back. We wanted to hold it down. Clay had those comments. They were, Pappas, do you have those comments in there right now? Clay Thompson, after the game, talking about KD, fire away.
Like Steve Kerr said, we didn't have the ultimate luxury tonight, a man who can just go out there and get you 40 on a whim. So we had to play a little more diligent with the ball. We had to be more crisp with our passes, and the room for error was a lot less compared to when Kevin's out there. And I'm happy we won so we can get some rest and get him healthy, because if we're going to get this three-peat, we desperately need him back. You know, he's our best player, so we dearly miss him, and we'll hold it down while he's out, but it's not the same without him. Far from it.
He wasn't the only one to speak like that. It's almost like they wanted to go out of their way to make it clear, you're one of us, we're not going to let any outside noise affect this. Like, if you're Durant and you are thinking about leaving, it's completely within your rights, but you hear that. How is this not the best basketball situation for you?
It is the best. It is the best. He's going to have to leave a wonderful family, guys that play together, that play the right way, an organization that's top-notch in class, and stands on principle and operates that way. So he knows what he's leaving. He knows. And that's just a reminder. The players going out of their way to make him make sure he feels like he is a very, very important part of the team is just another reminder for him. So I think it's great that they did that. And it's true. It's true. They are better with KD. And I think sometimes the downside, or if you want to say that, of having an ultimate luxury like that is it sometimes makes you lazy and maybe you can get bored knowing you're so good. But definitely in the playoffs, they're so much better. And he does so many things for them on the defensive side, on the offensive side of the ball, all-around player. And they understand how valuable he is and how good he is and how good they have it when he's on the floor. So it's great that they said that, and it wasn't like they were just going out of their way and talking out of their butts. It's true.
Is there any carryover to this, though, as it pertains to the fans' perception of the game? Because so many fans are saying this is the greatest win in Warriors playoff history, and you know they're all delighted that the Warriors proved they could do it without Durant. Is this an indirect message that KD receives? Because you know he follows everything. He was watching the game at home on his own TV. Is this something that maybe infiltrates KD's psyche, the fact that the fans feel like this is such a great win without him?
I hope not. I hope not. Only KD can answer that question and tell you how he's taken all of this. But I love the post that he posts on Instagram. I think it was Twitter, too, where he's just ecstatic.
Watching like, in his TV
watching,
room there?
Yeah, with his hands up. I thought that was really cool, and he was happy for the guys. So he was excited about the win. Hopefully he's blotting any of the noise out that you're talking about. Anyone that's saying anything about, well, they're better without him, they can win without him, all these different things. They don't need KD. Hopefully that's not affecting him. And obviously, inevitably there's going to be people that say things like that. And so I think KD would know that and just focus on getting back healthy and focus on the task at hand, which is winning a championship, and hopefully he's back soon.
Do you believe that if he, for some reason, is unable to come back against Portland, that this current collection of talent can beat the Blazers without Kevin Durant?
I do. I do, and I'm more confident about that because of what we just saw against the Rockets. I do feel like the Rockets were probably a better team.
Hang in there, Book.
All right,
hang in there.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Take your time. We can pick up the load a little bit here.
Shot clock down to eight.
Bless him, Lord. Help him. He's going to be all right. You know the preacher in the church when he's like,
"Woo,
hang in there."
I'm back. I do think the Rockets were the better team. So I think the Warriors are prepared if they have to go this whole series without KD. This is a really good Blazers team. Their bench is really good. I love what Evan Turner did in that fourth quarter of Game 7.
Evan Turner.
He was big time.
Great pick by the Sixers. Guys. Great number two overall.
Finally paying off that, $5 and $80 million contract he signed. Guy hasn't made a single play before yesterday. But, hey, more power to you, Evan. Be good to see you in this series.
Look
E.T.
out, Steve. Mm-hmm. Just better start studying tape now.
Yeah. And the rest of their bench. Seth Curry's had big moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about Myers Leonard.
Do you,
Zach Collins.
If you're the Curry family, can you risk wearing the split jersey?
I think you can. I think you can. I was thinking maybe Sonya goes with Warriors and then Dell goes with Blazers, but it's a great problem to have for them, I would say.
Incredible. And if you're Seidel, I mean, you're obviously stuck because you got the two brothers and just the one husband. So you got to figure out which direction you go across the board from family members.
Mom's going to wear Steph. She's going to wear the younger brother.
I say they both wear Steph. It's Darwinism, survival of the fittest.
Joseph.
Side with the champion. Why take a risk?
You can't do that.
Really?
As a family, you can, Joe. I understand you're joking around, but they won't. They won't.
I'm not joking around.
You're serious.
If Chubbs and Wyatt turn out to be Steph and Seth, let's go get them, Chubbs. I need to ride the gravy chain of the best possible investment. You're not looking at Del Curry. You are looking at LeVar Ball. I'm the LeVar Ball of the parenting world. I'm not going to be patient, kind, and smart like Dell. I'm going to be all over the place. I'm going to be globbing on. I'm going to be getting him involved in the worst possible investors. I'm going to root for the one who has the highest earning potential. That's the world.
But
the world you live in.
I wouldn't do that to my children, though. I think that could possibly break one of your children. I mean, it's just like...
Hey, like I said at the beginning, Darwinism, the strongest survive.
Amen.
If he's not meant for it, then
you amen
so be it.
I amend that. Yes, finally somebody who keeps it real. This whole narrative of, I love my children all equally. That's the softest lie that people tell their kids.
I've already established favorites in my household.
Without a doubt.
Thank you for keeping it real.
I know, but if you had two guys in the NBA, you would definitely pick one and go with that jersey the whole series.
Hey, Seth, it's not that I don't love you.
No.
It's that I know where the bread is buttered. And that's where I'm going to go ahead and invest my chips. Now, if there's any way I can help you out, son, I'll meet you afterwards. We'll go have a nice bite to eat. But I'm not going to put on the half blazer jersey when I know where I get that bread buttered. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't, no. Joseph.
Yeah,
that's
all right.
Messed up. That's messed
thank
up.
Thank you. Not. Thank you, Kalana. Kalana, please.
You know what it is, Kalana? I'm going to use your own words.
That's real.
That's real.
Thank you, Kalana.
It's a real program.
I appreciate
that's
it.
That's real.
Steph had 33 in a game six road clinching win, 33 in the second half. Seth Curry, and I'll have to make sure I go through all the game log.
You can't compare their stats.
Yeah, tell the tape.
0-2.
Tell the tape.
He didn't score.
They have met each other.
Daniel, you're going to go to his. You're going to go to Joe's on this? This is
tell the tape. Nine encounters. Nine encounters between Steph and Seth. Steph is 7-2. In those nine games, Steph has the nine highest scoring point totals. In addition, Steph, 9 for 9 in those games, knocking down more threes than Seth. However, Seth Curry this year from deep, 45%. Steph, 44%. In the playoffs, Seth is knocking down 44% from deep. Steph is just 37.
But you have like you benefit from doing that if you wear Steph's jersey the whole time. What are you going to get from Steph?
Is he going to buy sure you more things? My son, is he gonna... Steph knows I love him more than anything in the world.
So he does it if you go split jersey or one,
if,
or one wears.
If Steph gets offended by that and he looks up, he's like, look at this. After everything I've done for everybody, you come out here in a Blazer jersey.
I would be shocked.
You know what? Everyone's off the payroll.
I would be shocked if Steph didn't say, I don't want you guys wearing. I don't probably pick up the phone and say, Mom, Dad, please don't wear my jersey. Where are my brothers? I wouldn't be surprised if both of them were there. I mean, you do that. You don't care about that. Steph doesn't care. He wants to see his brothers.
You have to decide.
Steph isn't going to do that because he knows one of them are going to wear the Blazers jersey, right. Or they're going to go split jersey. They're going to do something. They're
yes,
going to do it right.
But you don't do that. That's family, Joe. That's your brother.
You're not going
to sit there and say, bet, go like that. That's favoritism. You don't do that to your children.
It's actually a loser mentality if you rock the Blazer gear, because you know full well that if Portland beats Golden State, they don't have much of a chance to beat whoever comes out of the East. So you're assuring your family that you won't get a title. Now, if Steph and the Warriors win, they've got more than a fighting chance to win the NBA championship. Therefore, thus, ergo, you are rooting for a championship by rooting for Steph.
What's more detrimental? What's more detrimental to the family dynamics? What's more detrimental to the family dynamics? As a parent, what's the best thing to do to keep the family together?
Good for you.
To not start any fights in the family and make sure the family stays healthy?
To keep the natural order in play. And right now, the natural order is Steph at the top of the food chain. Everyone in the family supports his endeavors. And then you support everyone else when there's time. Unfortunately, in this series, it does not look like there will be time to support Seth. This does not mean you don't like Seth.
No.
He seems like a very likable guy.
Great kid.
This is the recipe.
We're rooting for him.
This is the recipe to break up the Curry.
Exactly.
No, it's not.
Seth jealous.
He's been Steph's biggest supporter.
He's been the guy in his corner. He's been a wonderful brother, even though he's not as good basketball-wise or not as talented. They're best friends. This right here will drive a wedge in between them.
This is how you keep it real and build real family bonds. Instead of the glossing over it with all the fake niceties, you have a pecking order.
How do you know it's fake?
You keep it real.
How do you know it's fake?
And you move on.
Kalana, they don't read the good book.
They don't read
Cain
it.
Cain and Abel.
Read
they don't know. They don't know about the Cain and Abel story. So.
Yeah, Cain and Abel. How'd that work out for them?
Enlighten me.
Not good.
Abel turned on Cain.
One of them died.
Yeah, man. Spoiler alert.
No one's advocating death. I don't know what's wrong with you two. How I got to that point. CeeLo says, don't do this, don't do that. And then he starts talking about killing one of them. No one's talking about killing one of them.
Do you know you can kill not just with physically kill, you can kill with the tongue? What you're doing right now, you're killing, Joe.
Evil is in humans.
Killing with the tongue.
That's what the book, I can show you.
And what you guys are proposing may bring out evil.
Yeah.
We're proposing that you just keep it real. I think the Curries
are too good for it. They're not gonna stoop to that level.
They'll be forced to choose.
But your children, if you raise your children that way from the get go, as soon as they come out the womb, ooh.
Says the tongue is sharper than any two-edged sword.
That's not true.
Can I get an amen?
Mr. Preach. Amen.
Can I get a recording of Kalena's preach noises, please, for next time we do a show on a Sunday?
Shame on
don't
you.
Don't do this, though. You don't. You, honestly,
Joe, I've never been more proud of you. Thank you
shame
so
on
much,
you
Joe.
For your
shame
for
on it. Oh, so real.
He's over there lying up a storm, and he wants me to feel guilt. I'm just doing that thing that's called.
I hope you don't do that to your boys. Nikki,
it's going to motivate the weak one.
Don't you want the best for all your children?
Nikki will cut your liver.
Sometimes it requires a little kick in the behind.
A little tough love, Joe, is what it requires.
This poop requires 6 wipes. This poop requires 5. But let's go ahead and give them that 6th wipe anyway. Let's give them the 6th wipe anyway so they both get 6 wipes. And that way no one feels cheated. Never mind that the additional wiping could lead to a diaper rash. Just keep on wiping so that everyone feels fair.
Got to keep it fair, Joe. Everyone gets the same. It's called socialism.
How do we get there?
Come on in, China.
Come on in, China. How do we get to poop?
He's got a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. That's how we got
there. I deal with
that.
A lot of it down there.
Yeah.
Got it.
He's up to his eyeballs we're out of time, thankfully.
Maybe we can go to the college and let them feel how they feel about this subject.
Sure.
Yeah. You're not really laying out a great case. You're just sitting there going,
it's a great case.
And Anna's like, Clint is the only one fighting the case. Clint is out here. He's Tom Cruise Good Men, and Demi Moore and Weinstein over here aren't getting anything done.
Great call on Weinstein over there. Yeah.
Why
Weinstein?
You, Lieutenant Weinberg?
No, I think Lowe's done a great job.
Thank you, Kalena.
With his rebuttal. No, listen, if both
Kalena, we
if
are
both
all
children,
we
if
are
both
all
children
out of time.
Are fighting and doing the best they can.
That's real. See what I mean?
You gotta back them both.
Right.
You gotta encourage both.
Hallelujah.
Picking one child over another, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Service banking, no compromises. Just kidding. Our friends at Fremont Bank love to roll with the punches. We're always just having a good time out here. We're not actually advocating you favor a child over another.
But which account do you like more, your checking or your savings? You like the one that has more money in it. Fremont Bank knows what's
not
up.
Not the same. Not
that's
the same.
That's a really great job.
Not
thank you,
same.
Joe.
That's
I hate
terrible,
to up, but
radio terrible
pro. I think we're out of time.
What a radio pro.
That's terrible.
As he helps with the read and everyone else just tries to end the segment, takes the headset off. The lack of professionalism tonight.
Why? He called you out.
Just too much.
He called you out for taking your headphones off.
He does it every segment. It's wildly inappropriate. I'm sorry, we're out of time. You can turn the mic back on. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Portland series. We're going to talk about the Kawhi Leonard shot. That was unbelievable.
Monsters.
All that good stuff with Kalena Azubuki next. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
You're not even getting a thank you, Joe. All right, we're still reacting to the Warriors' Game 6 victory over the Rockets that advanced them to the Western Conference Finals. Golden State will face the Blazers in the Western Conference Finals. That series opens at Oracle tomorrow. Listen to all the action right here on 95.7 The Game. And we'll preview the upcoming series with some family. Kalena Azubuki will stay in studio for the rest of the hour. And we have your chance to win tickets to Game 2 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8 a.m. Joe Lo and Dibs are qualifying listeners to win tickets courtesy of Realtor.com. Again, that's tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday at 8 a.m. Could we see the return of Kevin Durant and Boogie Cousins in the Western Conference Finals? The guys will talk about that next. And still to come, what should we expect out of the Curry Brothers? Plus, are Joe and Dibs out of line choosing a favorite child? I'm Anna Kagadaikis in the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we've gotten to the bottom of the situation. Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. Kalena Azubuki in studio with us. Reading from Steve Reed of the Associated Press. Quote, Del Curry was standing near the loading dock at the Pepsi Center in Denver when Trailblazers guard CJ McCollum approached, gave him a big hug, and asked, which shirt are you wearing for the Western Conference Final? This, of course, Steph versus Seth Curry. The Curry family, will they be wearing Dubs jerseys, Blazers jerseys? How are they going to approach it? Curry responded, got to flip a coin. That's the approach. They're going to be flipping a coin before each game to determine which jerseys they will wear to that game. Do you like the approach, Kalena?
I'm okay with it. At least we know there's no kind of preconceived, I'm going with Steph because he makes more money, he's a better player, he's my favorite son, like you guys are proposing, and that would draw a wedge in between the family. And
seems like a bit of an aggressive answer there.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. I'm saying their approach,
that's real,
like we thought it would be, is calculated, and it's one approach that makes sure that both the children don't feel like, oh, they're picking Steph over me or they're picking the other one over me, and I don't like that. Now I'm not going to be my brother's biggest fan, and I hate my brother now.
See, what you're failing to realize is that this could cause an even bigger problem.
Agreed.
As two God-fearing men, you flip a coin, you put that in God's hands. And if you get seven heads in a row and that's seven Steph Curry Warrior jerseys, it's no longer the parents who made the choice. God is making the choice of the one son over the other.
No, I think if that happens,
you're going to have a problem with your family and with the Lord.
Exactly, Clint.
I think if that happens, they would like, make sure.
Right.
Especially if it's the sixth or seventh game and it's been all heads, all Steph.
See, and this, it all comes back to my greater point, Joe. My greater point about honesty. If you just would wear, really the correct answer is you wear the jersey of the road child. So when the games are in Oakland, you rock the Portland gear and you show all the Oakland fans, yes, you know us. We're the Currys. We love Steph, but we're going with Seth on the road. Then you go up to Portland and you rock the Warrior jersey. You protect the road child if you really wanted to do things evenly.
So you've changed.
No, I'm saying
if you want to do it evenly, you know what you do? Dell and Sonya both show up wearing Dell Charlotte Hornet jerseys, and you rock the seed. You rep the seed because that's responsible for the two players out on the court. Yeah, we're going to celebrate me today, everyone. How's that?
Just remind people.
Your basketball games for years.
Remind people where it all started.
How's that sound? Did that work for you?
That's fine. That's fine. But the other way.
How about this? From the Chilton Auto Body text line, because this was important. I was saving this for you. I am a Christian mom with three sons. Absolutely, I have a favorite. Is it right? Who knows? But it's survival of the fittest, and that's real.
That's a text of the day nominee right there. That's what that is.
I thought both parents would maybe switch it up every game, and maybe Sonya wears Warrior Steph, and Dell goes with Blazers one game, and then switch it up the next game. But
it's got to be pretty incredible. All of our jokes aside here, this has got to be an incredible experience for them.
It's a great problem to
Seventh
have.
Pair of brothers to face each other in the playoffs. First time it's ever gone this far. It's never happened in a conference final or the NBA finals before. Should I ask them the question?
Yes.
All right, Book. The six other brother tandems that have faced each other in the playoffs.
Oh, man.
It's not going to be easy, but this collective group was able to get just one. So let's see if you can do better than one. Now, they've met in the playoffs. That's all we're looking for. There are seven groups. You know Steph and Seth.
Brent and John Berry.
Oh, it's such a great guess.
It is, but unfortunately, it's incorrect.
That's not one?
No, it is not.
That's not one.
Wow, you were quick to pile on that double buzzer.
It's cool.
I wasn't sure if I was heard. Thanks, Lo.
Powell and Mark,
yes.
I feel like we got Anna got it to be, you know, before Anna takes her own credit, we want to give her credit. She was the one who got that among the group.
Take her, kid. She deserves the credit.
And that's why I gave it.
Markeith and Marcus?
Morris? No, but another good guess.
Great guesses.
Great guess. That's great.
I guess you didn't play with one of the guys in the list. I thought maybe he did as you get
into
it. I
don't have his entire list of former teammates in front of me.
Yeah, that'd be hard, Diz.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
There's a former Warrior on there, though.
Yeah.
Former Warrior. You might have played a little bit after you.
You probably should just back up a little bit. And
no, as a guy who's been a longtime fan of the team, I have a certain sense of, you know, players who play for organizations.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Why don't you go ahead and just put your feet back up and take the rest of the segment off like you were planning to do anyway, and we'll let the grown folks talk about it.
Horace and Harvey? Grant?
Yeah!
Yes! That's a really good one. This is not an easy list. That was a really good one right there, Colin.
I'm going to get at least one
Dibs
more.
Keeps talking. And
excuse
just,
me. Credit where credit's due. He's got two. You got zero. I got zero. Keep going, Clowny. You're doing great. Who else?
What's wrong with you, Daniel?
I'm kind of blank right now.
They're not easy. I'm going to throw them out for
thank you.
George and Ed Mikan.
Oh, Mikan.
You played against them.
Yeah, I did.
Bernard and Albert King.
That's the one you probably should have got. The King brothers.
I wouldn't
before his time.
One. Wesley and Chuck Person, the
Ooh.
Rifleman. You got Ho and Harvey Grant. And then Durrell and DeLon Wright.
Oh, yeah.
Did you play with Durrell Wright, or was he just after your
him.
Career?
He was after.
Okay.
Him.
Okay. There you go.
I should have got that one.
That's all right, though. You nailed two. You beat the entire group collectively.
Sure did.
It's got to feel pretty good.
I feel good about myself. That's nice.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. Not to look ahead of the Blazers, but because it happened yesterday, who do you see coming out of the East? No one's locked in now because we'll have this discussion again down the road, but you've got the Raptors taking on the Bucks. Vegas has spoken on this series as well. If I am not mistaken, Damn, don't have it in front of me. It's something like Bucks minus 325, Raptors plus 200, 220, somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah, 330 to plus 260. Milwaukee minus 330. That's big. You have to risk $330 to win 100 that they'll win the series. So Toronto's a pretty sizable underdog. Game one, Milwaukee minus 6.5, over under 218, Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. What are you thinking?
If I had to pick right now, I'd go with Milwaukee. I just think,
you think big?
Giannis.
You think they look real good, or you think it's a tight series?
No, tight, tight. Seven games.
Ooh.
I would say seven games. I think Giannis is incredible, and he's kind of really figured out how to not let his lack of shooting be a weakness and get going downhill. Now, Toronto has great defenders. That's why I think it's going to go seven. They may make Giannis have one bad game or one subpar game or two, but he's incredible, and then they've surrounded him with really good shooters. Chris Middleton. Is Brogdon going to be back? They need Malcolm Brogdon. He's great on both ends of the floor, can shoot the ball. And I think Mirotić was a nice pickup for them to spread the floor even more. Key for me is Eric Bledsoe. If he can get going downhill, if he can be aggressive, making plays, and have a really good series and outplay Kyle Lowry, which I think he will at this stage. Kyle Lowry is a good player, but I like Eric Bledsoe better to win that matchup. And I think the Milwaukee Bucks will defend good enough. Now, Kawhi Leonard is a problem.
That was a movie shot at the end of yesterday's game. You only see that happen in movies with the triple bounce and then it goes.
That's the shooter's role that all the other shooter's roles will be talking about now.
You tweeted that yesterday. It was a great tweet.
Thank you. Thank
it was
you.
A great tweet.
It's an amazing shooter's role that he got. But
everyone
gave him a chance.
Thought he was going to make it.
Everybody's saying it's
everyone's
lucky,
okay, they're not even saying anything.
And Off balance, end of game, and Bede's hand in his face.
Everybody was saying it was lucky, though. I can't call that lucky if he put the arc on there and he's thinking about the shot before he said, he's like,
Dude, if one of the greatest players in the world hits a game winner, I don't think there's a whole lot of luck involved in that. That guy works really hard.
Luck is when you bank one in from 27.
Exactly.
And you shrug and you throw it up off glass.
When you miss the shot and you make it and it goes in.
That's just shooter's touch.
It was.
I mean, because that ball was a half inch from going in as a swish, but it hits the rim and goes in three times.
As soon as he caught it, he knew where he wanted to get to. He turned around and started dribbling to his right, and then Joel Embiid came over there and he didn't flinch at all and kind of threw a little hesitation at him that made Joel Embiid jump once to where he was going down as Kawhi's going up just for a split second. And he got it off and threw it way. It hit the ceiling, I think.
I don't necessarily believe in stuff like this, but it is eerie the first year of the Warrior run compared to the first year of the Milwaukee run. It's getting stranger and stranger how much they have in common. All right, first year of the Warrior run. A nice team coming into the season, but certainly not a team people thought was a threat to win the title. Milwaukee was 100-1 last June when the odds first opened up. So no one was really giving them that much credit, although we did think they were a good team.
Right.
You come into the season, they win the regular season, most wins. That's what the Warriors did that first year. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo, the star who breaks out on the worldwide stage. Everyone knew he was good, just like people knew Steph was good. But now there's the full-on breakout. Steph won the MVP. Giannis might win the MVP. You go into the playoffs, first round, the Warriors smash the Pelicans that year. The Bucks smash the Pistons. Second round, you face a little adversity early on. Warriors go down 2-1 to Memphis, have to figure it out. Bucks go down 1-0, and everyone's thinking, Budenholzer yet again, regular season coach. You come back, you dispatch the opponent. Now you go to the conference finals. And oh, by the way, if you get to the finals and the Warriors are there, it's just like the Warriors getting to the finals and LeBron James is there. There's just, I'm not saying I believe in that kind of voodoo, but there's a lot stacking up where the stories and the trajectories are somewhat similar.
And you can,
it's scaring me, Dibs.
It should,
saying,
because when you look at Milwaukee more and more, you see that they're doing it largely through a strength in numbers type of approach as well. The game five against Boston, yeah, we can all talk about Giannis and how dominant he is. He had 20 points. They had seven guys in double figures.
Yeah.
You forget about Mirotić, who they picked up at the deadline, and Pat Connaughton off the bench.
Yeah.
And yes, all these guys, they have so much size too, Kalena, that as we skip ahead and think for a moment about a possible
NBA
Finals matchup, you got Lopez, who's 7'2". Giannis is 7, whatever. Miritich has got to be 6'10". Mm-hmm. They got a ton of problematic size on that team.
They do. They have a lot of length. Why are you laughing
so hard? You guys are funny. You guys are funny. Sitting here and dismiss Toronto. For you guys
Toronto.
Toronto.
I said if they go to the finals.
If hands and butts was candies and nuts, we'll have a Merry Christmas. I'm talking about Kalena. For you to sit here and say, oh, my God, they're going to sit here and they're winning Giannis and all the Thentetokounmpo and all the things surrounding it.
What's his name? Greek.
What's his name? The Greek freak.
Say his name. You know, say the last
name. Sinamon Hanu.
Antetokounmpo.
Not bad. Not bad.
No, it was bad. Sorry, Lo.
It's what?
Not even close.
It was bad. Sorry, Lo.
Antetokounmpo.
That's wow.
When you tell him it's bad, why do you say sorry? Yeah.
Because
just
we've been aligned a lot today, so
yeehaw.
You don't need to apologize. Just fully commit to the take.
If he crushes someone's last name, don't apologize.
Sorry, Lo, but you should be apologizing. But I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
For my people, I should apologize.
Anyway.
Sorry, Lo, you're trash. Yeah, right. I'm really sorry.
But here's what you guys
Greeks everywhere.
Nice little trash sandwich there.
But all just so you guys laugh at me, you guys will want me laughing. But make me laugh, make you
Sparta.
Cry.
Sorry.
They're going to lose the series. Everybody. You look at what happened. Toronto's been battle-tested. Milwaukee has not been battle-tested, guys. And if you guys sit here and dismiss them, they don't know what it's like to get punched in the mouth. They beat a Boston team that was doomed before the season. I mean, all the stuff that was going on, they didn't have a guy. Kyrie, yeah, he's a small little guy. I get that. You look at what Toronto's been able to do. Their bench is good. They got a guy in the center. They got a good rounded team. I think they've been battle tested. Toronto's going to beat them. Toronto's a better team.
I gave them 7 games. I felt like that was enough respect. And to me, this is a new Toronto team because the experience in the past that they have for me doesn't really count because they got crushed
who's
by LeBron James. LeBron James.
Who's won titles?
Your boy. LeBron James.
With all due respect, who's won titles?
Well, Kawhi. That's what I'm saying. They're a new team. Kawhi Leonard has won titles.
Many titles. You got to see that on display yesterday, and you got to see the guy take over teams and do what he got.
It's true. It's true. 7 games. It's a toss-up.
Is it okay to be crying after the game like Embiid? He took a lot of heat for crying afterwards.
He can cry. No, he can cry.
I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with
you guys are former athletes. I'm just asking.
That shows that he cared.
A lot of people
everybody
do not like
everybody
the
making fun of him has never been in that situation
absolutely.
To play that kind of game. I'm
absolutely.
Okay with the man crying. He cared.
Dibs, you okay with the crying?
That's fine. It's real raw emotion. I'm not okay with
clean sweep of cry. Everyone says it's good.
That's fine.
It's emotions. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, we criticize guys for not caring enough, and then we criticize them for caring too much. We want you to care just the right amount. Be mad, but don't cry. Stick around and shake hands. Don't storm off, but you can be frustrated. Sometimes we ask these people to do non-human things in human moments.
Oh, you mean storm off like Houston did after the Warriors?
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
No one shaking hands?
That's unacceptable.
It's a little bit of no class.
Cowards.
Agreed.
Exactly.
But back to
if I'm
Milwaukee.
I'm trading Embiid, I'm just going to get that out there.
But back to Milwaukee. One of the reasons I picked Milwaukee is because I trust the others on Milwaukee more than I trust Toronto's. Even though Toronto has a good supporting cast, at times they can kind of
can't trust Lowry
a little bit.
Can't trust Lowry.
Can't trust
too
him.
Emotional.
That game seven. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's their guy, but he wasn't even rolling like that. He took 39 shots. He had a nice closing line stat
they
line.
They played a team that could play great defense.
Exactly.
They played against
and Milwaukee doesn't play great defense.
They're played against a team. They played against the
Milwaukee
against
gave
Boston.
The Warriors trouble earlier this season
I'm
with
just
their
telling
length.
You,
preach.
I'm just telling you, the 76ers is a darn good, fine ball club. Those guys can play. That was a hell of a battle.
Everybody is
you
in the playoffs right now.
Nah,
you got to run them. You got to trade Simmons and Embiid. You got to fire Brown. You got to hope buckets will stay.
Start that whole thing over.
Sorry for just being real.
Hey, the problem.
There's no place for crying. Make
listen,
a play.
Joe, let me tell you something. I was in Lemoore. Hang on real quick, Kalena. I was in Lemoore, and we were.
Lemoore is what we call it now.
Lemoore.
Or the Moo.
Or the Moo, yeah.
The Moo is not. That's not even funny. The Moo. Joe, we lost to California Raisin Bowl 7-6. I remember guy threw an interception, and I ran the guy down on a 1-yard line, and we lost that game, and I cried like a. I understand the emotions of a guy crying. So you're talking about Embiid crying? It meant something to him. He knew that they had a chance to win that game. That was anybody's ball game. I love to see a big fella like that because he's so jolly. He's so friendly. Everyone talks about that. Just goes.
That's
to show
part
you.
Of the problem. Too jolly, too friendly. Less fast food, more weightlifting.
Yeah, that's one of the things.
That's one of the legit
and you
things.
Trust him to stay healthy and not get hurt, not get sick.
The guy had 4 different colds in one series.
Yeah.
How do you get a cold before every game?
He had a sniffle.
Didn't he have diarrhea one game, too?
Everybody's battling congestion. Equalizer. What do you think it's like in China with that air? They're battling congestion every day, and yet they continue to produce.
I'm not acting like anything.
You never have diarrhea before a game. Come on, dude.
DMP the D is when it shows up in the box score.
You had mud butt before a game.
I never complained about it, though.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to come out there and give it my all.
To that level.
Boom, be real. No, because I'm going to call him out.
Game one is tomorrow night.
There's nothing to call out.
95-7 the game.
You ever jumped up for a rebound?
Never.
Coach.
And a little bit came out. Never. Never.
The guy is a professional basketball
what?
Player.
What? It happens, coach.
Yeah, to amateur.
Just because it happened to you doesn't mean it happened to me.
Of course.
To 80-year-olds in the bingo parlor doesn't happen to a 22-year-old trying to snatch a board.
What went wrong in your life that you think everyone has the same problem as you do?
Everyone in this room is moving on themselves. It's not a guy in here hasn't. Come on, and Gail. Come on, let's be real.
Without question. We were all babies once.
Oh, no one's had a little accident? Come on. Got punched in the gut or something.
Not on the court. That's not something everybody goes through. I
spent
a
little too
about.
Long at the Pennant in South Mission Beach once, and I only lived a few blocks away and couldn't make it. I remember that right now in my mind.
I
was drinking all day, and I was not using that restaurant, and I just kept pounding, and I was like, I'll go back now. And
man.
It turned out to be too long of a distance.
Well, you walk, you just stop and just clamp.
It happened to me in first grade. I was just sitting in class, and all of a sudden it happened. And I'm looking around. People start smelling stuff. Everybody's going, what is that? I'm like, I played along. I was like, what is that? Yeah. Is that you? That's terrible.
Yeah.
It was one of the
Did they start calling you as a dookie?
Him and S girl. He started to come around.
In those moments, you realize what true fear really is. by the way, Chilled Auto Body text line 95795, all about the Moo. Lee Moore, now known as
That's
the Moo.
That's so weak.
Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. We are giving away Game 2 tickets. Game 2 is Thursday at 6. Tune in 8 a.m. tomorrow, 8 a.m. Wednesday, 8 a.m. Thursday for a chance to win tickets to Game 2. Game 1, Warriors 8-point favorite. You don't have to pick against the spread, but give us a rough idea of how you see this game playing out.
I think it's going to be obviously an exciting game. I think the Warriors will get it done. The Blazers are really good, though. They're deep. They have a great bench. I think the Warriors will play it kind of like they did Game 6 against the Rockets, and it's going to be Steph, a lot of pick and rolls, a lot of Klay Thompson coming off the screens, move without the ball. They have to get the ball movement going. The Blazers are not as bad as they used to be defensively, but I don't worry about the Warriors scoring the ball. It's all about stopping C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. They run a lot of pick and rolls, a lot of great offense. Terry Stotts is an offensive genius. They'll set flare screens and all kinds of screens for C.J. McCollum. He's a guy that can score in a lot of different ways. So you have to defend. Who do the Warriors start at the center position? Maybe they go with Bogut again. Maybe Looney. But you can get some bigs in there because Enes Kanter definitely plays Al-Farouq Aminu. They got some bigs coming off the bench, Zach Collins. So you can kind of extend your rotation that way. So I think Steve Kerr maybe will do that a little bit. But Warriors on top, I'm going to say by 8-9.
Ooh, laying the lumber, according to Glenn Azubuki.
Lay it.
That puts him on opposite sides of low.
Interesting. Oh, what'd you say?
He didn't want to do
Coach
it.
Coach Rod,
but I did it.
No. I'm with you. You went right. You said they ain't going to cover the spread. They're going to win the game.
Show's over.
He said they covered.
Show's over.
He said 9.
Guru. Next. For Dibs, Kalana, Anna, and Lo, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everyone. Greatly appreciate it, as always. We will see you back here at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. 95.7 The Game.
Go to hell, Joe.